Subsistence Economics, Old Path, New Journey. December 26, 2021. John Caton. It is doubtful that many of us wake up in the morning and actually think about what economic theory we follow. Ask almost anyone about the various theories, and capitalism versus socialism may come to mind. Get two minds together, one from each camp, and you'll likely have a vigorous debate. Historically, there are two basic economic theories, the theory of surplus economics and the theory of subsistence economics. The myriad other theories are modifications of surplus economics. Surplus economics is based on the continual creation of products in surplus, with the surplus accumulated as wealth. Surplus is a product's value that exceeds the cost of producing or acquiring the product. Surplus also refers to non-essential products that have value as luxuries, a surplus of consumption. Almost all of us are engaged in the production, or we support the production, of surplus. We, likewise, consume the products at levels sufficient to feed the built-in spiral of increased surplus production. Surplus economics, in its various forms, is the dominant economic system under which we live. It is the source of our livelihood, but it's also complex, interwoven, subject to manipulation and vulnerable to disruption. The capitalism versus socialism argument is about who manages the surplus economic grid, free market forces or centralized regulators. It's just two sides of the same coin. Subsistence economics is the older system. It is based on individual self-production of that which is needed by the individual and those supported by the individual. Any surplus production is traded or sold for other things the individual needs, but either doesn't or can't produce for themselves. In a surplus economy, having a single high-demand skill promotes worker success. In a subsistence economy, success depends on having enough multiple skills to self-produce various products for self-use, or tradable for the products produced by others. A subsistence economy is localized and not dependent on centralized currency. In parts of the underdeveloped world, subsistence economics is the way of life. No choice. Throughout most of our history, it was the way of life for our ancestors. It's only been in the last few hundred years, not even a drip in the flow of time, that surplus economics codified to spur the industrial and technological revolutions that still feed, clothe, and shelter us. Although 25% of the world's population lives in a subsistence economy, there is no economic or political incentive for expansion of it as a global model. Where there is growth of the model, it is by willful adoption and rejection of surplus economics. It is unlikely that surplus economics will fall out of favor as the dominant economic system except, accidentally from its own vulnerabilities. Surplus economics failed briefly during the Great Depression, but not sufficiently to cause a corresponding political failure. Since so much political effort is devoted to nurturing surplus economics, this dominant economic system was resuscitated, and some vulnerabilities mitigated. Surplus economics requires constant monitoring and adjustments of policy to sustain the growth of the surplus that defines it. Subsistence economics is driven by the combined forces of individual activity, unaffected by individuals outside a circle of trading partners. It could be considered the more natural, native system, but is disincentivized to generate spiraling growth of wealth. There is a new upsurge of interest in returning to simpler living, to adopt some or all of a subsistence economic model for themselves. Call it going off-grid, homesteading, back to the earth, whatever. It is a partial or full return to subsistence economics. Some of this interest is driven by retiring baby boomers' attraction to the back-to-the-earth movement of the 1960s. Some of it is born of fear of the future. Some younger people are seeing opportunity to thrive outside of the urban areas where surplus economics has herded more than 83% of our population. Retirement, remote employment and even unemployment have opened the door for many to flee their harsh urban environment. Others remain in their urban and suburban environments but are learning and practicing old skills related to subsistence economics. They all have their own reasons, points of view, and techniques. That's what independent and self-reliant people do. Whether partially disconnecting from the grid of surplus economics or abandoning it entirely, there is movement on the path toward greater individual acceptance of subsistence economics, back to where we were before. It is a new journey on an old path.